Dobrze, to możemy zaczynać. Chciałam wszystkich bardzo.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the presentation of preliminary results for 2019. I'm here with the CEO, Michał Gajewski, the CFO, Maciej Reluga, financial controller, Carlos Polaino Izquierdo, and Wojciech Skalski from financial reporting. My name is Agnieszka Dowżycka and I'm in charge of investor relations. Please use your microphones before you ask any questions. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the first press conference this year, where we'll be presenting the preliminary unaudited results for 2019. We will be releasing audited information on the 20th of February. . 2019 was marked by a number of important market events. In quarter four, we managed to integrate our investment activity in one entity, that is Santander Securities, and thanks to that, our customers gained access to a wider array of products and services. We will soon be offering foreign cash markets, a mobile platform, and more stock exchange-related products to our investors. We are testing open banking. As I said before, we want to launch the account aggregation service in quarter two 2020. We opened a novel branch format that is a combination of a traditional bank outlet, a coffee house, and co-working space for customers and non-customers, Santander Work Cafe in Warsaw. We want to be present in all the channels to give our customers a chance to contact us the way they want, at our branches, helpline, mobile application, and through electronic banking. Our efforts were recognized by our customers on a number of occasions in 2019. We won the prestigious Golden Bank Award, Newsweek's Friendly Bank Ranking, and we were the runner-up in the Friendliest Business Bank Ranking by Forbes. Our responsible banking agenda assumes we are part of the change, and we truly are. We want to support the sustainable development of the Polish energy sector. Last year, we were the first on the Polish market to sign an ESG-linked agreement that is used to incentivize borrowers' commitment to sustainability. The first loan of this sort signed on the Polish market, we want to continue that this year. We were the first bank in Poland to release information on the legal provisions linked to the Swiss franc mortgage portfolio. We did that in January. The decision to set the provisions was underpinned by our risk analysis on the Swiss franc loan book. We talked to our auditor and built a model. We will be elaborating on that later in the presentation. Before I move to the financials, let me talk a bit about the situation around the Swiss franc mortgage lawsuits. A lot of myths around the landmark ruling of the EU's top court. There seem to be a lot of legal experts at the moment, but we believe there is no clear legal practice and ruling practice, and we may not say that all loan agreements should be invalidated. There are different legal circumstances that come up with each case and require new analysis. Let's move to the presentation. Slide number 5, gross loans up 5%, 148 0.6 billion, deposits up 5%, assets 209.5 billion, market share, gross loans 11.8%, deposits 11.7%. We have 4.4 million customers with access to electronic banking and 2.5 million active users. 1.6 million use our mobile banking services. We operate 515 branches and 134 partner outlets. And we have a new distribution channel we acquired through the merger with DB, and this is the network of agents. Let's move on to slide 6. Net interest income 15% higher year on year to reach 6.58 billion, and this was possible thanks to a larger net interest bearing assets base, some changes to the group's balance sheet structure, more primarily the low cost bearing current funds from individual customers and cash loans. And this growth was also the effect of flexible management of pricing. Fee income over 2 billion, up 3.4%. I will be talking later in details. Gross income up 9% to reach 9.5 billion zlotys. The profit attributable to shareholders was impacted by the ECJ's ruling. If we don't include those one-offs, it's 9% lower, but underlying profit is up by almost 20%. Our capital position, we're on slide 7. It's beyond the regulatory requirements. Our efficiency ratios are, of course, impacted by the legal provisions and higher regulatory contributions, which affect the entire sector. Those contributions include the banking tax. It went up 28%. They include the BFG contributions, the KNF contributions. The corporate income tax went up 10%. So those items definitely impact our overall result. Return on equity 9.7% and return on assets 1%. Underlying results would be 11.2% and 1.2% respectively. We have a solid liquidity position, as we do every year. On the following slides, that's slide 8, 9 and 10, and those are business-related slides. Retail banking. We have 1.78 million customers that use our account as I want it, account as I wanted, konto jakie chcę. That's up 65% year on year. Very good results in terms of cash loan sales, 8.5 billion worth of sales throughout the year. We generate good sales in digital channels. Sales of insurance going up, the premium allocation up 43% year on year. Amount-wise, that was 148 million. That's in the fourth quarter alone. And at the end of December, that was 552 million. We managed to reverse the negative trend in investment fund sales. In 2019, net sales was 1.6 billion. And the assets managed by our TFI was up by 12%. Digital channels. We have 4.4 million customers with access to internet and mobile banking, 2.5 million active digital users. That's up by 7% year on year. The number of transactions going up. We had 74.5 million transactions. That's an increase of 80% year on year. We have 834,000 cards in digital wallets, and the number of transactions was 150% higher. We see higher sales in digital channels, higher sales of personal accounts, increase of 12.5%. Business account sales through digital channels up 25%. One-fourth of all cash loans are sold, 25% more cash loans are sold through digital channels. I have mentioned the agents network. They're an important part of our overall sales. They will be selling personal accounts and POS terminals starting from this year. This year was good for SME, for SMEs, SME segment companies with turnover up to 8 million zlots. Especially good for our smart loans. Very good result generated in December. Financing to SMEs went up 10% year on year to reach 13.4 billion zlots. We have some new products, an additional module, electronic accounting, 13,500 new users were added to that module. Business and corporate banking, the assets, performing assets at 33 billion zlots. We continue to focus on selected sectors, strategic sectors, where we generate double-digit growth. We continue to support the Polish companies' expansions abroad, using and taking advantage of our global network and the global presence of Santander Group.
Corporate and investment banking. Here we have revenues from trade finance up by 29%. And when it comes to cash management services, we also have a two-digit growth of 34%. In 2019, We carried out the biggest tender offer on the Polish market for many years, and we were acting as an exclusive financial advisor in one of the biggest M&As in Poland. So this was a very successful year for this business line. And now I will hand over to Maciek to cover the macroeconomic environment. So when it comes to macro environment, we all know that we are dealing with a slowdown. There's a moment, there is a moment of the year when everybody publishes their outlook for the next year. We did that before Christmas last year, and over several weeks, we have observed some of surprises. Recently, there was the flash GDP data. Our expectation was 4.2. The chart shows 4.0. I will not comment on all the data in greater detail, but I will just say that the investment is doing fine, and this is a surprise. In the fourth quarter, this is some 7%, so this is some decent figure. The end of 2019 is worse than we had expected. This is some 3%. But when it comes to 2020, I think that what is more important than the forecasts for 2020 is the path of growth. So whether in 2020 we will see a continuing slowdown quarter by quarter, or maybe we will reach a trough and we will see a rebound for 2021. As you can see on the slide, we opt for the second scenario because we are expecting a faster growth than in 2020. Behind that, there is also the pace of the GDP forecast worldwide, and we are expecting the second half of the year to be better. We also are aware of all the risk factors. When it comes to the structure of the growth, we increase consumption growth at some 4% and no investment increase. And behind that, there is the slowdown, not really a slowdown, but a deceleration of the public sector. If we see the data for the fourth quarter, it may turn out that the investment will be better, but it may turn out that the consumption will be different than we had expected. All in all, we think that we should be moderately optimistic when it comes to 2020, taking into consideration that the GDP growth is more or less about the potential. In nominal terms, the slowdown will not be that big because we have bigger and higher inflation. December was higher. The peak we had assumed is about 4, and I think it will materialize because some factors may contribute to a decrease of inflation. But whatever the peak is, we see it as the temporary factor. I think that in the medium term, inflation will be within the target, so that we assume that the interest rate, according to the assumption of the central bank, will stay flat. The economy is well balanced. The surplus of current turnover will be maintained or will even grow. Export was impacted by the slowdown worldwide, but there we also see an improvement for 2020. In domestic terms, there was less demand than in the past. When it comes to the impact of the macro environment on loans and deposits, let us talk about the past first. Loans grew by some 5%. At the end of the year, the slowdown was noticed in the corporate sector mainly, to the level of 3%, and it is reflected in the balance sheet of ours, which we'll elaborate on in a while. Retail loans for households, still decent. Cash loans, 8%, mortgages, two-digit, and I think that some increases of this kind should be assumed for 2020. The trend has maintained in deposits. They have grown decently, especially current deposits, term loans on decrease, households up. And this is a good harbinger for the liquidity in the sector. This was reflected in the fourth quarter, and I think that this will continue because the deposit growth is still solid with a decent structure. So now let us comment to the main elements of our balance sheet. Okay, so as I have said, loans up by grown gross loans up by 5% year-on-year to the level of 148.6 billion zlotys. When it comes to this, to the structure of that, mortgages up by 4% year-on-year. Of course, Swiss franc mortgages down by 8% year-on-year. Very good dynamic increase of cash loans. Year-on-year, it was 23% up. And in Santander Consumer Bank, we reported an increase by 11% year-on-year. Mortgages down. In Santander Bank Polska, mortgages up by 4%. In Santander Consumer Bank, mortgages down by 8%. If we exclude that, in Santander Consumer Bank, we would have reported an increase by as much as 16% year-on-year. Customer funds, now let us look at the slide number 19. Customer funds up by 5% year-on-year. I was already mentioning the mutual funds. Quarterly, this is an increase by 4%. Net sales, 505 million zlots of net sales. It is worth mentioning that we have reported a very good increase in online sales. In terms of deposits, in general, up by 5% year-on-year, both retail and corporate ones, 4% and 5% respectively. And we see a continuation of increase in term deposits and migration of term deposits onto current deposits and saving accounts. How did it translate into net interest income and net interest margin? Net interest income up by 15% year-on-year, mainly thanks to the net interest-bearing assets. And if we take a look at NIM, this is, of course, influenced by the European Courts of Justice. And if we exclude the impact of that, NIM in the fourth quarter would have been higher. So this is when it comes to net interest income and net interest margin. Fee income, 3% up year-on-year. We mentioned that there are several lines that are very dynamic in terms of growth. This is credit fees, 14% up year-on-year and 16% up quarter-on-quarter. Credit cards up by 7% up year-on-year and 8% up quarter-on-quarter. Insurance fees up by 11% year-on-year and stable quarter-on-quarter. And we also reported an improvement in terms of capital market fees. Of course, this is still under pressure, but there was an increase of 8% quarter-on-quarter. SCB, in terms of fees, up by 18% quarter-on-quarter and 3% up year-on-year.
Gross income up 9%. Underlying gross income up 15% year-on-year.
the business transformation also impacted the gross income, constituting a one-off. The profit on sale of investment services of 59 million booked in 2019. So we see good dynamics in gross income through organic growth and the merger with Deutsche Bank. Maciej will continue now about the expenses. There are a number of elements that are worth mentioning in operating expenses. I want to start by analyzing the cost of merger and cost of synergies. About 6 months ago, we showed you a slide with the estimates. The costs connected to the acquisitions and layoffs, they amounted to 182 million, as you see on the slide. That's 16 million lower than planned. Cost synergies, including the effect of group redundancies, amounted to 112 million, and 101 million was planned. In December 2017, we were talking about the merger, and we were presenting the planned expenses and the target level for 2021 was at 129 million. So we're not far from this. We see that 2019 was in fact better than we had estimated. The actual world results were better than we had estimated. We see the administration costs down, those related to IT and consulting. Staff costs up 2%. There were a number of one-offs impacting the expenses last year, and that included the higher BFG contribution. The legal provision linked to the Swiss, the FX mortgage loan portfolio, and the future reimbursements of the fees, partial fees on consumer loans. We reported that already in one of our current reports. Excluding those one-offs, expenses went up 10%. Cost to income, underlying down 2 percentage points. The quality of the loan book and provisions the cost of risk, 85 basis points. Quarter four was good in terms of provisions across the business lines. We saw fewer downgrades to non-performing portfolios, improvement in SMEs, and the nominal values reflect the structure of sales and the structure of the overall portfolio. In terms of higher NPL, this was the result of the denominator that decreased, especially in the corporate book. Change of model parameters in quarter four, it had a neutral impact, overall impact for the bank. NPL sales, we had some in quarter four in SCB. The impact on P&L was 26 million, as you see on the following slide. The last table that we present, 2019 compared to 2018, we see that underlying results that are presented in detail in the report, we have gross income up 16%, net profit up almost 20%, expenses highly impacted by the regulatory contributions. On the expense side, we see continued focus on the synergies and efficiencies that are better than we had planned. The credit provisions are going up because of the changing structure of the portfolio. 85 basis points at the end of the year, I think this is a good harbinger for the following quarters.
Michał, would you like to summarize?
Yes. We continued our strategy of organic growth. We continued the review of our business lines, continued our business strategy. We looked at what should be continuous, what could be outsourced, and this is in fact what happened with the investment services center. We see the effects of those in the results, in the increasing result from our core operations and the higher net interest income and fee income. The strategy was to continue with this transformation, also the digital transformation, so that our customers could have access to services, products and services online. Of course, the cost of such services for us is lower. There is a one-off, the landmark ruling of the EU's top court, which impacted the result, as well as the contributions for BFG, the banking levy, the KNF premiums. This impacted the results. We'll be happy to take any questions you may have.
I have several questions. I would like to start from the provisions for FX mortgages. I'd like to ask for an explanation for the three-year time horizon. What does it mean? Does it mean that you had assumed the number of final and binding rulings over 3 years' time, and this is how you raise the provision? Or maybe the three-year period will take into account the subsequent future rulings. The three-year time horizon is not about the number of rulings, but the number of lawsuits. On the basis of the trend in the recent months, we are estimating the number of rulings over the next 3 years. Then we attach the probability of winning or losing a lawsuit, and then this probability is assigned a given scenario that you are presented here on the slide. This three-year time horizon means the number of lawsuits filed over the three-year time. Can I ask another question related to that? Do the provisions include the legal costs, legal services costs? The legal costs, I mean.
Are they included in the provisions? They have been included, but we do not publish the details. But you can imagine that, bearing in mind the total amount, these are insignificant. I have a question whether you're going to share any data that you took into account in the model. So the number of lawsuits or the number of different baskets of FX loans you have identified within your portfolio. Because on the basis of the market discussions, we know that each bank distinguished different baskets. Each agreement carried different risks because we have denominated and indexed agreements. And when it comes to the number of lawsuits, I think that in the previous quarters we were quite transparent and we showed the number of lawsuits at the end of the period, both at the level of the group and at the level of the bank. So we'll continue this transparency. But if your question is whether we are going to show all the tree with all the data and all the probability, do not expect that, please. No, what I mean, my question is how many lawsuits you are expecting over these 3 years? Are you going to update this model on a quarterly basis, on 6-month basis, or do you have any plan for the number of lawsuits? Of course, I'm giving some fictional figures here. For instance, imagine that over the next 6 months you are going to receive 500 lawsuits and then the model had assumed 600. Does this imply that you are going to verify and update the model on a quarterly basis, or are you going to verify it after 3 years? Of course, we will have a periodical review at least once per annum or even more frequently, but of course, depending on the situation. There might be some material changes against the model. We can also imagine some not material changes. Coming back to your question, the number of lawsuits assumed by us in the 3-year time horizon, well, if within the next 6 months it turns out that it will be materially different, this will influence the provisions. Of course, the provisions will be also influenced if some ruling practice will be shaped. If this is different from what we had assumed, regardless of whether we win or lose a case, we will adjust it. You know, winning or losing the case may trigger different implications, and all this may influence the level of provisions, so a periodical review will be conducted. I would like to relate to the amounts of provisions spread between different banks. In Santander, you assumed 149 million zlotys, so this is 1.5% of the provision of the portfolio, and in SCB, this is less. And when analyzing the number of rulings that were final and binding, SCB was losing more cases. So why these discrepancies? We would expect that SCB would raise higher provisions. So have you assumed that in SCB customer would be more reluctant to file lawsuits, or why? The amounts that are presented in the current report, that are presented on the slide, relate to the fourth quarter. In SCB, there was additional provision of 20 million zlotys earlier. So at the level, you had over 76 million zlotys at the end of the third quarter, and I assume that 20 million of that belongs to SCB, Santander Consumer Bank, right? The 20 million was presented by Santander Consumer Bank as an element of the portfolio provisions. But you, at the end of the quarter three in your financial statement, included the number of lawsuits and the level of provisions that have been raised. All right, so this was about individual cases. 70 million was for individual cases. Okay, so the note that you included in the financial statements related to the group, yes? So we had to add 76 to 20 when it comes to the provisions that had been previously raised. Unfortunately, the booth is not receiving. Okay, so either we create a provision on a portfolio basis or another way around, this will be a single provision at some moment, right? Okay, and what was the impact? I'd like to ask a question. What was the impact of the net profit in your flash results was included when it comes to the impact of provisions onto the net profit? So the easiest answer is that we do not include full tax efficiency when it comes to the influence on these provisions. We do that only partly. The booth is not receiving. I'd like to ask about CIT. This is your assumption right now, right? And the talks are still underway, and the full picture will be visible in the annual report, right? Yes, the only comment I can make here is that this is our best knowledge and understanding of the situation. The audit has not been completed yet. This will be completed within the next 3 weeks, so we cannot rule out that the auditor will have some challenges to the presentation. And when it comes to savings on administrative services, IT and third-party funds, is it one-off or is it recurrent? I think that third-party services and consultations, I think that here we can assume that this is recurrent, and IT and the amount of depreciation that will stem from IT in the future, I think that this will be on the rise.
Moving forward to the other ECJ's ruling about consumer loans, what was the methodology used to estimate the provisions in other operating income? And the adjustment of 100 million in the net interest income, is that a one-off adjustment or recurring? So what was the methodology, effective or the linear one? Similarly, we talked about it after the third quarter when we didn't make provisions. We talked about some estimates, and we said we're going to use the effective method. What has changed is the last item on slide 30, because it shows you what was included in quarter four. So the 100 million is a recurring impact of the ruling estimated based on the effective methodology. Net interest income, it appears in net interest income, so it shows you impact on that line as a result of reimbursement. And other operating income includes the past reimbursements. Did you estimate the impact on the net interest income of adjusting the model if the regulator or the auditor as they did for Bank Pocztowy and said the bank is obliged to make the reimbursement in the linear methodology, because then you would adjust the model and that would impact the net interest income, and or this difference is not significant. It would be significant, but we can't talk about it because we don't see that difference. I have a question about the impact on the net interest income, 101 million, and is that for quarter four or starting from the ruling on the 11th of September? Yes, starting from the 11th of September. Following the press conference, I saw a headline that the bank is open to reach agreements with the customers, but the Swiss PLN is definitely out of question. Could you elaborate on this? There is no ruling practice yet that would be clear. When we were merging with KB, we reached out to all KB customers, to all customers, to about a possible agreement, and we only got 6 responses. So, of course, this situation is changing. It's very dynamic. We're thinking about different scenarios. Agreement is out of court. Agreement is a potential solution because people see what happens in courthouses. We have seen what happened with some legal offices here in Poland that took care of the issue. So, of course, we take it into consideration to reach an out-of-court agreement, but it's too early to say today. We are looking into what customers might be interested in because their expectations are so much different. We cannot have the same approach, the same agreement with all customers. We need to see a clear ruling practice to be able to draw conclusions, but definitely an out-of-court agreement is possible, but we're still waiting. We are, of course, estimating the potential impact on the bank's results. However, we're still looking into this. I have a question in terms of your headcount and the restructuring process. In quarter four, was there a provision release in that respect, because it seems the headcount did not go down as planned? You mean when you say the headcount, we're talking about the restructuring, we did have the group layoffs. We do not expect provision release, and headcount is over 1,300. That's the number that's the reduction, and the program assumed 1,400, so it was quite close to the assumption. I have a question about net interest margin and the decrease. What is behind this? That reflects the situation on the market. I was showing you that on when I was talking on the overall market, business loans were, the growth was going down, and at the end of the year, and the dynamics was only 3%, and in the entire in Q4, we saw a clear slowdown. Here at our bank, NBP shows 3%. Here we see different tendencies depending on the segment. We see the decrease for corporate and investment segment, but for SMEs, the sales actually reach some very good levels. So for larger corporations, the decrease was reflecting the situation on the market. The guidance for risk-weighted assets and costs in the morning, Santander reported they expect 1% drop in risk-weighted assets. In terms of volumes, we should expect the trend for 2019 to continue. The same applies to the structure and to the segment and product structure. I would assume that the risk-weighted assets will go up, but to a lower extent than when it comes to loans. As a result of our actions that will be continued in 2020, because we have some transactions that will optimize the risk-weighted assets in the pipeline. The guidance for costs, maximum to inflation, and the inflation for 2020 is supposed to be very high, so it's probably be below inflation. We have a question from that we got online that is similar, so let me take that. There was a question whether the cost synergy we mentioned in 2019, that they're better than planned, will that have be reflected in 2020 and 2021? Yes, of course it will, because those synergies will spread over time, and of course, there will be even more impact. So in 2021, we will see the annualized effect of what will happen in 2020. So the fact that we have higher synergies already in 2019, it, of course, impact what we see in the following years.
I would like to ask you about the comment on the consumer loans market. We see the decrease quarter on quarter, whether this is the effect of the European Court of Justice ruling. The sales was lower in the fourth quarter because quarter three was record high, but still quarter four was second best in 2019. So we are rather expecting the trend to continue. We are expecting a rise, maybe not to record high levels, but still decent. You have this on the slide. The dynamics of growth was high. Quarter number three was record high. Quarter four was still decent. I think that if at the beginning of the year we would have told you that the sales would be 2 million per quarter, everybody would have been surprised, I think. So quarter four was a decent quarter. I'd like to ask about the performance in SCB in the fourth quarter, because I think that they were record high, taking into consideration the provisions that the bank had raised. I think that the net profit was 100-something in the fourth quarter versus 150 in number three and number two. The provision was some 150 million zlotys in SCB. There was sales of NPL of 20-something million, but I think that there was some major success in the fourth quarter that affected the results and contributed to an improvement. What was that? Slide number 24, if we take a look at the provisions in SCB only, we have 59 in quarter four versus the remaining quarters, 80. Sales of NPL on the next slide, 26 million zlotys. Let us remember that in the second and the third quarter, in the context of net fees and moving the fee payments to the second quarter, that is not present in the fourth quarter. This is the fourth quarter versus the remaining quarters. This is an improvement on a like-for-like basis. The second quarter was worse, but we mentioned that this was a non-recurring event because this will be split over time, so we will avoid any fluctuations. In terms of business, I think that the growth is solid, apart from the single events that I had already mentioned. I'd like to ask a question about NIM. The adjusted one is below 3.6% in the fourth quarter. I think that last year the management board was expecting some 3.8%, and the question is whether we may expect the acceleration of the improvement in the subsequent quarters. Relating to 3.8%, I agree that last year we were mentioning 3.8%, but that later on we said that in the first half of the year we decided to change the financing costs slightly later, and it happened like that. We knew mid-year already that it would be difficult to reach 3.8%, and we said that. Another element that constituted a surprise that we need to take into account for 2019, that will reverse, I hope, in 2020, were far lower profitability of bonds, and we assume that this year this will not happen. For instance, we would have reported several basis points higher NIM in the fourth quarter if it was not for the low profitability of bonds that was followed by reinvestment. When it comes to the future of NIM, let us not focus on the specific levels, but maybe rather on the trends that we are expecting for 2020, and I hope that they will be shaped in 2020. On the liability side, when it comes to the balance sheet, we hope that the trends that we are observing right now, or we will observe in the second half of the year, will continue. The structure of deposits should positively influence NIM through major growth of current deposits, and we should have optimization of financing costs in term deposits. Of course, probably we should have some issuances in 2020 that may influence NIM. In assets, on the asset side, when it comes to loans, we should assume a positive mix from the perspective of NIM and NII, so faster growth of cash loans for SME, more in SME than for corporate, so the structure of loans is positive. The structure of assets in general should be positive because we assume some growth and profitability versus last year. I think that these are the major elements that we should take into consideration. Have you implemented any changes for consumer loans? Or maybe the mitigation of European Court of Justice rulings on the income side is possible? Well, this is an important thing because the starting point, taking into consideration what happened in the fourth quarter, is important, and we need to mitigate the effect regarding the net interest income. I think that we are working on a general offer that would take into account all the parameters of cash loans more on the income side than on the cost side. I have a question about capital ratios. There was a significant improvement in quarter four. Why was that? Did you take any profit to that? I couldn't hear the answer. The booth did not receive that. A question regarding the dividend. What plans do you have? Well, you see that we meet the requirements. We haven't made any final decisions yet, but we are not changing our dividend policy, both in terms of paying the undivided profit from the last year. Of course, we need to disclose our proposal with the regulator, and we haven't taken any decision yet. But let us remember that we need to take into account that we need to meet the requirements for the dividend payout at the moment of the dividend day and payout. What were the integration costs for the fourth quarter and the Visa evaluation? Visa evaluation is shown on the 58 million. This is quarter four. In quarter four, we had 18. And the costs of integration in the fourth quarter, I can't remember it from the top of my head. But we will get back to you. I think that after the third quarter, I gave you the total amount, and today we will get back to you with that. Last question regarding slide 21, net fees. The chart others is lower. Why? These are the off-balance sheet guarantees. They were lower than in the previous quarters. I'm coming back to the previous question. I'm sorry. The cost of integration in the fourth quarter was 7.5 million zlotys.
13.5 cost of integration quarter four.
I'm double-checking this, and I'm looking at the questions we got online, but I think we have answered most of them during the presentation. There's a question about BFG fees. Yes, we expect them to be higher. This was suggested by BFG itself, and we're awaiting formal letter.